420 Platoon Holcomb Street, 22. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose pleasures are divine. 420.
Oh, bless the Lord, my soul.
As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2. It may be that quite a few of you, dear people, have at times read the psalm down. And as you have read it, in your reading of it, you have felt, oh, how I wish I could feel like the psalmist must have felt when he was inspired of God to record it. And it was well that you should have such a feeling welling up in your breast, for it did not arise from what you are by nature, but because God had wrought a miracle for you, he had done for you that which you read in Ezekiel, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And it was that new heart, new nature, that caused you to have that feeling within, desiring that you also could join with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And you see in the opening word how the psalmist desired to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He desired, when he was enabled to do it, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth might speak. And he desired to bless the Lord in his judgment, to acquiesce that all his dealings were good and right and wise, and that he did not want at any time to kick against the pricks of the dealings of God with him. He meant also that his will in blessing the Lord might ever be subjected to the will of God, and that will be to him the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To have that feeling regarding all his dealings, he hath done all things well, and he cannot do otherwise. And then he meant also, when he said, all that is within me, he wanted his affections, his heart's desires, to be centered on the Lord, and that he might bless him in the reality of it. And you must understand that when it says, bless the Lord, it cannot be that you and I can bless the Lord as he blesses us. When he blesses us, as he does, He communicates blessings. He gives us that which we are very glad to be the subject of, which makes up the benefits the text refers to. But when we bless him, we can give God nothing to add unto him already what he possesses. Keep that thought in your minds, dear friends. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And when you understand this aright, it really narrows down to a very, very brief compass and a very simple one. It means simply to say thank you to God for what he has done for you as you humbly hope. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And now, we should be concerned if we are taught of God. I leave the if with you. If we are indeed, as we hope we are, many of us, following on to know the Lord, we should be concerned to give unto God the glory that is due unto his holy name. There is a glory due to God for creation. Sometimes you sing, nature with open volume stands to spread her maker's praise abroad, and every labor of his hands shows something worthy of a God. Has not at times your heart been lifted up when you have looked around in the world at large and seen the beauties of God in creation, not only in looking over vast panoramas of the countryside, making a beautiful picture to contemplate, but in looking at harvest time, the fields all covered over with corn, and your heart pondering the matter, and then desiring to say thank you to God for fulfilling his word, seed time and harvest shall not cease. You will find this if you examine creation, look into it wherever you will, in any detail of it, even the smallest, you will see one thing that denotes glory is due to God for what you see in it, and that is perfection. Man cannot produce it, but God, in his infinite condescension, has created the world in which you and I live and move. And what is therein is for us to make a right use of, as wisdom is given to do so, and not at any times to abuse what God has so kindly given. Then there is the providence of God. And I am sure of this, that if you view the providence of God aright, you may look at it sometimes in its workings with regard it may be to you and yours, and you may be ready to say, all these things are against me. But if you should be favored in heaven's own light to view the working out of that providence, whatever its nature, concerning you and yours, in the end, you will have to say, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You will have to admit with the hymn writer, thy ways, O Lord, with wise design, are framed upon thy throne above, and every dark and bending line meets in the centre of thy love. One of our hymns in our old Stephen's hymn book used to speak about thy providential grace. And there is a way in which providence and grace are so intermingled that you cannot separate them. And if you get, as you will do if you are a sinner born again, a sanctified providence, the sanctification of that providence will be to you that the providence has proved a blessing in disguise, not only to do with your circumstances, but it has worked well in your soul's experience. And oh, you do indeed need to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits that we receive in providence, in all things working together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But the glory of God, while it is seen wonderfully in creation, and equally and yet more wonderfully in providential things, it shines most of all in love's redeeming work, shines in redemption. And when we are helped, and we do desire from time to time to be helped to do so, to contemplate Calvary's cross and what was done thereon when God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, as we think of that great work, with some little hope springing up in our breast that we have a lively interest in what was done on Calvary's cross, we shall indeed want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And now, there is another viewpoint of this line of things I want to touch on, and that is, as I have told you so many times, the word Lord refers to the Trinity, being in large capital letters. So here is another experience given to all people taught of God to enter into, and very delightful it is to be helped to do so. Bless the Lord, bless the Father, bless the Son, bless the Holy Spirit. And there are times when you are favored to do so, here a little and there a little, may not be to the extent you would like to be helped to do so, but you are not strangers to it. You think of the Father, and God, which is the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you think of what the Word of God declares, the Father himself loveth you, said Jesus Christ to his disciples. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of, even before ye ask him about the matter. And when you ponder this in your heart, and when you think it was the Father that ordained all to be saved, who will be saved, a number which no man can number, and he gave them into the hands of his dear Son for him to go on in the fullness of time and do love's redeeming work. You will think on these things and ponder them in your heart, and as well as you can, you will desire to say, bless the Lord, bless the Father, O my soul, for that great work which he has wrought in the covenant of grace, whereby he made it manifest that he would be a just God and a Saviour too, wherein he sent his dear Son down into this poor sin-cursed earth to do love's redeeming work. And then, following that line of thought, you will say, bless the dear Son of God for coming into the world when he did. And when you think of how he came, the mystery of it and the mercy of it, that when the shepherds went to Bethlehem, when the angels had heralded the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a Saviour in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds were concerned about this, and their hearts were warmed, and they wondered that this babe should be heralded in his birth with a melody from heaven and the angelic host to proclaim his praises. And they said, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass there. And oh, what a wonderful thing it was which had come to pass. God made manifest in the flesh. God, in the person of his Son, hath all his mightiest works outdone. And there is that great scripture, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And it is in the Church of Christ, remember this, it is in the Church of Christ, I say, where it is without controversy. Outside the real Church of Christ, there is much controversy about Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh. And there are thousands who profess this world's wisdom who will not accept it as a truth. Neither do they believe it or allow it to influence the lives that they live. But oh, in the Church of Christ, the Church militant, it is without controversy. You will not meet anyone in the Church of Christ proper. As I said, the Church of Christ militant, if you ask what think ye of Christ, you will always get the same kind of answer. We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It is without controversy in the Church of Christ militant, but outside there is much controversy about it, and it seems to increase in the days in which we are living. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Father for what he did in formulating love's redeeming work in his eternal purposes. Bless the dear Son of God for that which he has done in regard to it, in consummating it, in doing it, and that he is now in heaven fulfilling the working of it out as to its fruits, with a sure guarantee he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Bless the dear Son of God for coming down to do love's redeeming work. And then we shall be saying, bless the Holy Spirit for what he has done and for what he is doing. And we must not forget that whenever we open the Word of God to read, to get good for our souls, to get profit as we journey on, to get light on the way on which we are called to go, whenever we desire for the Word of God to be made a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, we should be saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Holy Spirit for the blessed revelation he has made in the Holy Bible, which he has gathered together and sent abroad over all the earth. And especially you will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, that the Word of God has come where you are, and you have it in your own hands to read and get good for your soul. And so there is this viewpoint of the subject. Bless the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And now we might look, ask the Lord to help us for a little while, at what these benefits really are. And first of all, it must be said, they are more than tongue can tell, more than our minds can conceive. Some of these benefits, they may be at first, as it were, disguised, and you and I do not recognize them as benefits until matters so fall out in our lives that we see that proverb fulfilled, out of the eater shall come forth meat, and out of the strong shall come forth sweetness. But if you and I could spend a little time in seeking to count our blessings, we should find what a multitude of these benefits there are for you and I to remember, for our soul's encouragement, and to enable us to say, bless the Lord, speak well of the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As we were born, there is a tendency in us to forget. The carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. I said at the outset, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And you and I need that to be in exercise as we ponder these benefits which we every day receive. And I may say this, that many of them, I nearly said most of them, you take for granted because they come day by day with such unfailing regularity that you do not seem to weigh the matter up as you should do from whence they come. But you should be saying every day, all day, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And if you were to sit down a little while before God and ponder your life and the mercies that you every day receive, and think of other people who are much worse off than what you are, and think of those afar off who are displaced persons and live in their lives as refugees, and then contrast the life that you are living with mercies every day being almost rained upon you in your everyday lives, you would realize there was no room for any grumbling or complaint whatever from you, but that you should be indeed echoing these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And looking at these benefits, where should we begin? And if we're helped to begin, where should we make an end? Strictly speaking, there is no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. But they are repeated day by day. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And when I began to think of what should be the first benefit I called attention to, I thought, if we began here, when and where we were born, and being where we are this Sabbath afternoon, if you ponder that truth in your heart, and many of you had the privilege to be born of godly fathers and mothers, and that is a privilege to prize. It was a benefit that was conferred upon you, although when you were born you were not aware of the benefit it was to be to you. But if in being born of a godly father and mother, you are now, I leave this between the Lord and you to decide. If being born of a godly father and mother, you are now desiring your father and mother's God to be your God too, then that was indeed a benefit which you should acknowledge before God as to when you were born and where you were born. and that you were found this Sabbath afternoon, not by chance or haphazard where you are, but that God has granted you the privilege to have a godly upbringing, a training in accordance with the Word of God. And all your life long, if all goes well, however long you live, you will never lose the benefit of what that has been made to you by the grace of God. And may you be helped to say often, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, sometimes when we listen to people as they come before the church to tell of the dealings of God with their souls, they tell us something like this: "It was my privilege and my pleasure to have a godly father and mother. And as time went on, I found something living and moving in my own heart that I wanted to possess a religion like I could see God had given to my father and mother as I watched them living their lives in everyday life." And that is how it works. And so what a benefit it is. And to think you are where you are in the attitude of worship. Some of you are glad to be where you are in the attitude of worship. And you wish in your hearts you could get more good when you seek to worship God as you do under Union Chapel roof. And I can tell you this: I wish you could get more good than I often fear you seem to do as you gather here for worship. But remember, thou doest well to have it in thy heart when you come up to worship God, if so be you can get in touch with God and get some good for your soul. That is a benefit not to be despised, a benefit to be prized, and for which you should say, "Thank you to God, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and wottest thou that thou dost not receive?" And then, as we go on, what a benefit it is to feel that God, with whom we have to do, is approachable. You should count that a benefit with a capital B, for it is a wonderful mercy that God is approachable. And he had to do a great deal, which he alone could do, whereby he might be made approachable by poor sinners like you and me. It is a benefit to prize. It is a privilege to use in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And there is no letter hindrance to you to do it. That is to say, if you find in your heart a concern to get in touch with God and tell him all the truth about matters to do with you or yours, you have the privilege to do so. The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. What a wonderful consideration it is. God hath devised means whereby poor sinners may draw near to him, the majesty of heaven, and be sure of a welcome in doing so. And the dear Saviour hath said, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. Who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So there is the benefit of a mercy seat being set up, in that God himself is above it, and he has declared, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. I hope many of you, dear people, know what that privilege is, and to be able to say, it is good for me to draw near unto God. Much might be said along that line of thought, but there is another benefit which we must not overlook. And it says in Zechariah, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And now that fountain was opened especially in the day that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And it is still a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. In that fountain, there is that precious blood of Jesus Christ, which does for sin atone. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy, cries. But oh, dear friends, what you want is to get the benefit of it. The fountain open stands, but on its brink I dwell. Oh, put me in with thine own hands, and that shall make me well. So the hymn writer says, and so you say amen to it. You know the truth of it. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You may say it seems too good to be true, but one hymn writer says this: the blood that purchased our release, it washes out all stains. We challenge earth or hell to show a sin it cannot cleanse. And this benefit is to be known if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a wonderful benefit it is, the blood of Christ. And then I might say also, what a benefit it is to be found where the gospel table is spread. And I might go farther back than that. What a benefit it is to be born where the gospel is preached, so that you have been found under the sound of it. And to think that God has given you ears to hear and a heart to receive it, in the love of it, and that you come in that category of the psalmist. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Can you remember how you came to be found under the gospel? You dear young people would not be able to do that because you were born under it and you have known nothing else along life's way. But some of you older people may be able to go back when the gospel was nothing whatever to you, but then God in his mercy made it possible for you to hear the gospel, and by his grace you found the benefit of it. You heard it as you'd never heard it before. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and your ears were unstopped, and you heard the words of the book, and you found the gospel to be a blessed reality, and it fitted in your soul's experience, so that you have been glad to hear the gospel ever since. And many a time you have found the gospel good tidings of great joy, and to be indeed a benefit to you as you listen to it. A gospel table spread, and to have a place and a part among the people of God where the gospel is preached. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare, and the soul that knows it lives. You ponder that last line of the hymn writers. The soul that knows it lives. If you listen to the gospel for yourself and you find it to be a benefit, although not every Sabbath day you may get the benefit you would like to, and I have sometimes wondered what sort of people you would be if you did get all you would like to under the gospel every Sabbath day as it was proclaimed. We should look for some wonderful fruit bearing from you as those professing the name of Jesus. But even in the hearing the benefit of the gospel, it is according to divine sovereignty, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And then Jesus says regarding the gospel, it is a lovely scripture, I like to quote it, I am the bread of life, and he that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then, what a wonderful benefit it is, as you find it in your everyday life, to be made to differ from the world at large. And you know if you do, you know as you go about among the world at large, as you have to do, some of you, to earn the bread which perisheth, you know if there is a line of demarcation between the world and you. You have some light upon that scripture. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And as you weigh that matter up, that there is a distinction between the world in you as you live and move about in it. You must think of the benefit conferred upon you that it should be so, whereby you are like Moses, the man of God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of wickedness. To be able to say with the psalmist, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, what a benefit that is, and it is to be prized. And you must trace it up to whence that benefit came down for you to possess it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then there is another thought as I come toward the amen. What a blessing are sanctified trials to the people of God. When trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud, and you wonder what the outcome will be, and you have many fears as to what the trouble may do for you and yours, but it brings you to wait on God and wait for God. And you find he fulfills his word. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. How many troubles you have had along life's way that it could be said, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and yet the outcome of it all was through the goodness of God. The clouds were big with mercy and did break in blessings on your head. And you have those sweets along life's way to contemplate when you had in your soul's experience sanctified trials. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Much might be said about these benefits, but you see, the psalmist himself refers to these benefits as he viewed them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I want you to notice one thing that stands out, and that is the psalmist speaks of these things in the present tense, not as though they were just his past experience, but what he could prove and realize to his soul's joy every day as the need arose. And so he goes on, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. There is forgiveth, healeth, redeemeth, crowneth, making it all to be in the present tense. He did it for you yesterday. He will do it again. He will give you to know these benefits today and tomorrow if the need should arise. And I have not touched upon this benefit, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, how you would love to have that benefit conferred upon you, some of you, and what shall I say? It is to be known and felt, and Jesus will not your cry forget you shall obtain the blessing yet. You shall come to this beautiful and blessed and never to be forgotten experience, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And when he goes on to say, who healeth all thy diseases, you must not think that the diseases he refers to are healed and never rise up again, because they are to do with what we are by nature. For instance, the Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. And now unbelief is one of those diseases, but the Lord at times does subdue it and heal it for the time being, so that you can go on your way with living faith in exercise and believe in God and believe that all his dealings with you are good and wise, and you desire to behave aright under them. And so it is with all other diseases, like indwelling sin, inability to do good, when you feel a rebellious frame, when you feel impatience or many fears arising, or a hard heart, when you feel hopelessness and helplessness in the things of God coming upon you, bringing you to your wit's end, and all your wisdom is swallowed up. And at such times, you do not always behave well before God, because these diseases seem so rampant. But God grants grace to help in the time of need, and he brings you back again into a right frame of mind, and you are found again at Jesus' feet, clothed and in a right mind, and these diseases are thus subdued. We shall never have them healed altogether till we die. We do hope we shall then. The spirits of the just, confined in bodies, groan till death consigns them dust to dust, and then the conflict's done. And you see here, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And that makes you think of this scripture. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? The psalmist says in Psalm 30, O Lord, thou hast healed my soul, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. And that seems to be all that some of us can say sometimes, feeling as we do, so far off and so destitute. O Lord, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. And to be outside hell, you should count that a benefit of a truth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And now I do hope you will weigh these things up and think them over, and that there may be some help by the way for some of you still to hope in God. And when you get help, do seek to count your blessings more than you have done ever before, and you will be surprised how many have been his blessings, his benefits conferred upon you. Amen.